You're going to want to hear this one. We're talking about whether Simon Nemec is already the heartbeat of our blue line, if Dustin Wolf can carry us past Seattle on opening night, and why that center ice depth chart might be more crowded than we thought. Stay with me.
It's a lot to unpack before the puck even drops in October. The offseason moves have shifted the entire tactical identity of this club.
Welcome back to the Beatline Podcast Network. I'm Vanessa, and alongside me, as always, is Nick. If you're new here, you've found America's number one daily sports podcast network. Today, we are doing a full mailbag episode for the Calgary Flames faithful.
That's right. We've got questions coming in from all over regarding the roster construction, the defensive pairing strategies, and how we grade the big trades that moved Blake Coleman and Ollie Matta westbound.
Before we dive into the first question, I want to take 30 seconds to talk about you. This show is free, with no ads and no paywall. Listener support is what protects that freedom. Please chip in at the link in the episode description.
We appreciate every single listener who helps keep the lights on and the analysis sharp. It means the world to us.
So, let's get into it. We have three segments today. First, we'll tackle your biggest questions about the Nemec signing and the Pacific Division standings. Then, we'll break down those center ice battles. And finally, a lightning round of hypotheticals. Let's start with segment one. Our first question comes from Sarah in Calgary. She asks, Nick, everyone is hyped about Simon Nemec's five-year, $36.25 million deal. But looking at the roster, do we actually need him? We have Zach Whitecloud and Jake Bean. Is this an upgrade or just volume?
Great question, Sarah. It's not just volume. It's specific skill acquisition. Whitecloud is a heavy hitter, great in his own zone, but he struggles with pace. Bean is young and raw. Nemec brings elite skating and puck-moving ability that neither of them possess consistently.
So you're saying he's the catalyst for breaking out of our own zone?
Exactly. When you look at neutral zone play, having a defenseman who can carry the puck through pressure changes the entire forecheck structure for the opposition. They have to commit more forwards, which opens up seams for Jonathan Huberdeau and Joel Farabee.
And what about the contract? $36.25 million over 5 years. That's a significant commitment. Does that cap hit hurt our flexibility moving forward?
It's a mid-range deal. Not cheap, but not prohibitive. Given that we traded away Blake Coleman and Ollie Matta, we actually created some space. The front office is betting that Nemec's two-way value outweighs the cost, especially since we still have Dustin Wolf anchoring the net.
Next up, Marcus from Edmonton writes in, the Flames are seventh in the Pacific. With the Wild taking Coleman and Matta, did we weaken ourselves too much? How do we climb back to sixth or higher?
Marcus, fair concern. Trading veteran leadership like Coleman is risky. But look at the return and the cap relief. We aren't trying to win the division yet. We're trying to secure that playoff spot. The strategy is stability through youth and defense.
Right.
As we mentioned yesterday, the goal is sixth or seventh place. We don't need to top the division to make noise. We just need to be tough to play against.
And that's where the goaltending comes in. If Dustin Wolf stays healthy and continues his development, he gives us the chance to lose close games by inches rather than goals. That's how you climb the standings.
Final question for this segment from @FlamesFan4Life. Do you trust Michael Backlund and Morgan Frost to lead the penalty kill with the new guys on defense?
Backlund is the anchor. His positioning is timeless. Frost is aggressive and quick. Together, they frame the defensemen. With Nemec and Whitecloud likely pairing up, the PK unit has size, speed, and smarts. I'd say yes, I trust it completely.
Okay, we're setting the stage. Now, let's move to segment two. We have questions about the roster battles. Who starts? Who sits? Let's look at the centers. First question from Jessica in Vancouver. With Ryan Strome, Connor Zary, and Martin Pospisil on the roster, who gets the top 6 minutes? Strome seems older, but Zary has upside.
This is the real battle. Strome provides experience and face-off reliability. Zary brings speed and offensive creativity. Pospisil is a wild card. High skill, but needs consistency. My take, Strome starts because he stabilizes the middle. Zary wins time in the second line, due to his energy.
So Strom is the safety valve, and Zeri is the spark plug?
Precisely. And don't forget Tyson Gross and Ben Jones are also in camp. The competition will be fierce in training camp. But for opening night against Seattle, I see Strom and Zeri getting the nod.
Next, David from Toronto asks, what about the left wing? We have Joel Farabee, Samuel Hanzek, and Jonathan Huberto. Where does Hanzek fit?
Hanzek is a grinder. He's not starting over Farabee or Huberto yet. Farabee is a power forward who drives play. Huberto is the playmaker. Hanzek likely slots in on the fourth line, providing energy and checking duty. He needs to earn his minutes.
Makes sense. You don't waste Huberto's shift on low momentum plays. He needs to set up the rush.
Exactly. And if Hanzek plays well in the AHL or gets call-ups, he could push for more NHL time. But right now, the top six is pretty set with Farabee, Huberto, and then rotating wingers like Matt Coronato or Maxim Tsiplikov.
Last question for this segment from at Ice Cold Kelly. Is Yegor Sharangovich a lock for the bottom six? He's been quiet in camp news so far.
Sharangovich is a reliable two-way forward. He's a lock for the roster unless someone explodes in camp. He fits perfectly in a checking role, killing penalties, and playing physical hockey. He's the glue guy we talked about last week.
Solid answer. So, Strom slash Zeri at center, Farabee slash Huberto on the wings, and Sharangovich holding down the fort in the bottom six. Now, let's head to segment three. We're doing a fun hypothetical and a lightning round. First hypothetical from Chris in Boston. If the Flames open against the Seattle Kraken on October 2nd and we score first, how do we manage the game?
Well, remember our prediction? We think we win 3-2. So if we score first, we tighten up. We dump and chase less. We focus on sustained zone entries using Nemec's breakout skills. We force Seattle to chase us.
So, control the neutral zone. Limit their odd man rushes?
Yes, and rely on Dustin Wolf. If we lead 1-0, Wolf becomes the star. He's calm under pressure. That's why we backed him in our previous episodes. He stabilizes the net when the game gets tight.
All right, lightning round. Quick takes. First topic, Simon Nemec's jersey sales. Are they skyrocketing?
Absolutely. He's young, skilled, and represents the future. Sales are up significantly.
Second topic, Blake Coleman in Minnesota. Did we regret trading him?
Short term? Maybe. Long term? No. The cap space and the assets we gained are worth more for building around Wolf and Nemec.
Third topic, Dustin Wolf's Vezina odds. Should we be betting on him?
He's a dark horse. But if the defense holds strong, he's a serious contender.
Final topic, the Pacific Division race. Can we jump the Ducks or Golden Knights?
The Golden Knights are always tough. The Ducks are rebuilding. Our target is 6th or 7th. We'll grind it out.
There you have it. A full breakdown of the Flames mailbag. From Nemec's impact to the center ice battles, we've covered it all. Thanks for listening.
Remember, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Share this with a fellow Flames fan.
See you on October 2nd for the opener against Seattle. Go Flames!
That's the Beatline Podcast Network, America's number one in sports. One team, one feed, daily. Subscribe and follow. We'll see you.